We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Alec White, and we are here in the ESPN Tucson studios, not the Arizona Daily Star studios. But regardless of where we're at, we're going to record a podcast and get you guys your fix of Arizona basketball talk. And wow, what a win for the Arizona Wildcats.
First time all season. First time since NOM.
Since NOM.
Not a season-saving win, but really one that the Wildcats needed for confidence reasons. Hadn't won one all year. They had had some games on the road where they've just fallen apart in the final minutes. They were 0-4 in games on the road, decided, you know, by a couple possessions, to like two or three possessions or less, falling to Baylor. They fell neutral site to St. John's. You had the ASU game. This was as big of a turning point right now as you could point to for the season.
Yeah, seriously. And Sean Miller always talked about confidence. I don't understand how to get confidence in these guys. He has taken a lot of responsibility for the road woes and not being able to put together a complete game. But when you're a freshman-led team, you know, it's difficult when you're on the road and everybody is cheering against you. Everybody wants to see you lose. And when you don't have the McHale Center atmosphere to back you up, I mean, it's difficult to play in these games. And I thought Arizona, despite that terrible start to the second half, I mean, it seemed like
it was ASU all over again.
Seriously. And Washington came out. They were 14 of 28 from three-point range.
Yeah.
You shoot 50% from three-point range, and yet you somehow lose. I thought Washington was going to run away with the game. I mean, they went up by 8 points right away, and you and I both looked at each other, Alec, and said,
Here we go.
It's all over again.
They hit their first six three-pointers in the first seven minutes of the second half, and that's when they opened up that, you know, 8-point lead, and it was gut check time for Arizona. And they found a way from some key bench players. It wasn't necessarily Nico Mannion, Zeke Nnaji. It was Jamal Baker, and it was Stone Gettings.
Yeah.
Those guys stepped up big time. Stone Gettings, 13 points. Baker with 17.
Well, Stone started.
Stone started.
But
he's not a bench player.
He's been started for, what, the last couple weeks?
We still consider him
a bench player.
Right, a role player rather than your typical go-to scorer. But he was very good. And then Baker, you know, he was 4 of 7 from three-point range tonight. 17 points a career high. And he had that three-pointer to go ahead to put Arizona up 72-70 late in the game with just over a minute left. That was probably your biggest shot of the season for the Wildcats.
Absolutely. And Jamal Baker, we've been hearing about what he's been able to do in practice, what he's shown throughout the season. He's the backup point guard whenever Nico Mannion decides to come off the floor and sit down. He serves as the backup point guard role. But we've always heard about his three-point shooting. When he was at Kentucky, you know, he was one of the most underrated three-point shooters over there with the other Wildcats. Now coming over here, he's got a role as one of Arizona's prominent three-point shooters along with a guy like Max Hazard. And for Jamal Baker in that situation to be down by 1 point and to pull up from three and make it, I mean, that was a gutsy play by Jamal Baker. And I think, you know, looking back on it, could this be one of the biggest moments in Arizona for this season?
For this season, at this point right now, it's certainly up there as one of the best moments. And you look at what Baker's done over the last couple games in Pac-12 play, and you would not have expected this type of night from him. He had 2 points against ASU. He was 1 of 5 from the field, and he took a lot of heat for not being able to run the Wildcats offense efficiently when Nico Mannion was off the court with some foul trouble against the Sun Devils up in Tempe. Baker kind of took some of the blame for the offensive deficiencies. Against Colorado, 7 points. Against Utah, 5 points. He was 2 of 8 from the field. At Oregon, when they lost up there, he was 0 of 2, had 2 points. At Oregon State, he had a better game, but you just needed something from Baker to have some real confidence in him as being that backup point guard.
Yeah.
And Nico Mannion again today came off the court for a little bit, and Baker stepped up.
Yeah.
That's what you needed.
Yeah, and Nico, fortunately for Arizona, Nico didn't get into foul trouble. That was a big reason why I think Arizona lost to ASU, is because, you know, Nico was cooking in that first half against ASU when he made 4 3-pointers. I mean, that was one of the best offensive games I've seen Nico Mannion put up, but then he got into foul trouble. And whenever Nico Mannion gets into foul trouble, it really takes Arizona off its rhythm, and they didn't have an answer like a Jamal Baker last week against the Sun Devils. But tonight, it didn't matter because Nico Mannion didn't get in foul trouble. But whenever he was off the court and Jamal Baker stepped in, he was lights out for Arizona. And it was really cool to see all the role players step up in road games. And that's what you want, because when you're a freshman-led team, sometimes your youngsters, I mean, it's going to take some time and they're going to struggle on the road. Like, for instance, Josh Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I mean, where the hell has he been over the last couple of weeks?
He doesn't look like he has a lot of confidence right now. We go back to the point of Sean Miller trying to give his players confidence and put them in the best situations to succeed. Right now, Josh Green looks like he's out of confidence right now. He was 2 of 7 tonight. He had 5 points, 2 turnovers, 3 personal fouls. Against ASU, he was 0 of 7 or 0 of 8. From the field, 0 points. You're going to need more from Josh Green as the season goes on. But, you know, not every night are you going to have all of your players hot and step up. You're going to have streaks where players go cold, especially freshmen. We went through this with Nico Mannion in December where he didn't look like himself. We had a stretch where Zeke Nagy had cooled off a little bit. It's just growing pains.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're almost into February now. At some point, you know, the growing pains have to cease.
Yeah.
And everybody's got to play to the potential. Otherwise, you know, the season will end pretty quick.
Just some numbers for the Arizona Wildcats. As Alec mentioned, Jamal Baker Jr. finished the night with a career-high 17 points, was 5 of 8 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, and a perfect 3 of 3 from the free-throw line. He also had a couple of rebounds and 4 assists as well. The next leading scorer for the Wildcats, Nico Mannion, 16 points, was 3 of 7 from 3-point range, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and just 2 turnovers. Next guy in line, Stone Gettings, 13 points, 5 of 9 from the field, and also had 3 rebounds to go along with it as well. You know, Stone Gettings set the tone in the first half, you know, picked up 6 quick points, and it was looking like it was going to be his game for a little bit, but eventually, you know, Stone got into foul trouble. He played with 4 personal fouls, and Sean Miller kept him in the game,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a confidence booster for a veteran. I mean, for you to have 4 fouls and to still be playing, and I'm not talking about with like 3 minutes, 4 minutes left in the second half. He kept Stone Gettings out there with 4 fouls with like 10 minutes left.
He was their zone buster.
Yeah.
Arizona was getting the ball in the paint to Stone Gettings, trying to break that zone, you know, a little high-low action, and you get the ball to Stone, and as soon as he got it near the paint, the Washington defenders would back off, and he would just do a little turnaround jumper, you know, nice 8-footer.
Yeah.
And it'd fall.
Yeah.
And he had several of those just close to the basket, not layups, but, you know, almost layups, were just little jumpers. And that's all you needed for Arizona to kind of break through that zone to open up what was on the outside and was some three-point shooting, which the Wildcats had down the stretch. So I think part of Sean leaving Gettings in there at the end was because he was one of the more efficient players, post players in that zone.
Yeah. In Arizona, too, also played pretty fast.
They did.
That was taking it to Washington. And they set the tone right away. I mean, Nico was getting to the rim. And that's, I guess that's the formula. How you beat a 2-3 zone defense, you go at them. You get out on the run. You attack the rim. And Nico Mannion did that. You know, Josh Green, I thought, had a fantastic play in the first half. He had a steal and then went down the court, laid it up, in which drew the and one. That was one of the better plays of the game, even though he didn't put together a great game. But that was one of the bright moments for the game tonight. And just the pace and how they play. I know Sean Miller loves to play his half-court offense because, I mean, that's what they're doing now in the NBA. That's what makes Sean Miller's team so attractive to a lot of players that are trying to go to the NBA because, I mean, everything he does, they do that in the league. But you want to be able to play fast. And when you have the kind of athletes and the horses that you have on your team, just let them run. And I thought we saw that. And for Washington, you know, the 2-3 zone defense is effective when you have veteran defenders who know what they're doing.
Yeah, Washington's very young as well.
There were times where Washington didn't really know what they were doing. And the 50-50 balls, too. There were some 2K-esque possessions tonight. For instance, I forgot one where Ira Lee went back behind the backboard. And it looked like it was going to go out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. Threw it behind him.
And he just threw it behind him. Like, he had no idea where the ball was going. Just threw it behind him. That's a loose ball. That's a 50-50 ball. Washington could have easily picked up that ball, get out in transition, and go score on the other end. But Arizona was right there to get it. And then that's when they kicked it to Jamal Baker for a three-pointer. And that's what really kept Arizona in the game. There were a number of times where Washington had some chances to possibly pull away, but they let Arizona hang around, and Arizona capitalized tonight, which we haven't seen all season long.
Yeah, that was – I'm going back. You tweeted that play. Baker was the one that hit the 3-2. So,
yeah.
You know, goes there. Arizona's running in transition. They're down by 2, 4 minutes left. Washington, I really throws it behind the backboard. It goes off a Washington player, Jaden McDaniels, it looks like. And Dylan Smith running in, but there's 4 Washington defenders around him. Dylan Smith runs in, kind of does a half dive to knock it loose. Zeke picks it up, throws it over to Baker, and there you go. Arizona's on top. And, you know, you could make the argument that was, you know, besides Baker's other 3,
yeah,
that was your biggest, you know, second biggest play of the game.
Absolutely.
Because that got you the lead.
Absolutely. But, you know, for Arizona, what does this win mean? Washington is tied for last place in the Pac-12 with Oregon State. We're actually with this game tonight, they're in sole possession of last place. Oregon State is 2-6 in conference play. Washington, after the loss to Arizona, is now 2-7. So Washington, okay, one of the worst teams in the Pac-12. Actually, they are the worst team in the Pac-12. But yet, for some reason, this counts as a quad 1 win for Arizona, which I think is so bizarre, because I don't think if you're tied for last place or you're in last place in your conference, that should not count as a quad 1 win. But Arizona got one.
Yeah, the net ratings and quad 1 wins that the College Basketball Institute a couple years ago, it's still got some kinks to sort out, because I'm not really seeing how, you know, we're putting Washington in this discussion. I think, you know, people were hoping Washington was going to have a better year, assuming they were going to have a better year. And as soon as they lost Kwadi Green, this team's just gone downhill. They've lost 6 of their last 7 games. So it's been, they had a good non-conference. They beat Baylor. The only team to beat
People
Baylor.
People forget about that.
Yeah, it was the first game of the year. And now they're the dweller-seller of the Pac-12.
So, Bill Walton, by the way, we didn't get a chance to talk about him, but he was in rare form tonight.
Oh, he was great.
I mean, it wasn't like the game where he was eating peanut butter. Was that the Oregon game?
That was
Arizona at Oregon when he's eating peanut butter with Dave Pasch. He wasn't at that level, but my goodness, we heard animal imitations. We heard him imitate a cat
and a dog.
Imitate a dog, and then he also was like, "What? What's a net rating? The only net I know is the net that you put the ball through."
He refused to give a Super Bowl pick, but he hoped that there's a buzzer beater in the Super Bowl.
Are there such thing as buzzer beaters in football? I never heard that before.
I don't think there. I mean, you could do it as a clock runs out to end a quarter or end the game, but there's no buzzer.
What a buzzer beater.
In football. We talk about the funny moments too, but he was also had some down to earth moments. He gave a touching tribute to the passing of Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant and the other seven passengers that passed away on the helicopter flight. Yeah. He says he's known people close to him that have passed away in helicopter accidents. So this hit him especially hard, and that, you know, his son Luke Walton. Wow. I'm blanking here. Luke Walton.
Luke.
Also played with Kobe Bryant. So he was very reflective, you know, and did it at a right time.
Yeah.
You know, it was right at the start of the second half. Wasn't, you know, in crunch time or wasn't when the action was heavy. So we got a good dose of the good Bill, the funny Bill, the sincere Bill.
Yeah.
And even the wacky Bill.
Yeah. And I thought Bill, too, I mean, he was... seemed like he was starting to get pretty emotional there.
He was. They had to cut away from him.
Yeah. And then Bill Walton apologized. He's like, "I'm sorry." He was so apologetic for bringing down the mood. And it's like, no, man, anytime you talk about something like this, of course it's going to bring down the mood. But to see that kind of that side of Bill Walton, I thought was genuine. It was authentic. And it was something we definitely don't get to see too often. But Washington stats, Jaden McDaniels had 12 points, was 5 of 13 from the field. Naziah Carter, shout out to Jay-Z's nephew, had 13 points, was 5 of 9 from the field. And Isaiah Stewart, 3 of 13 from the field. Everybody wanted to pay attention to Zeke Nagy versus Isaiah Stewart.
They both got in, Stewart didn't get into foul trouble, but he had a couple turnovers. They just couldn't get the ball to Stewart enough, in great positions. Naz Carter, he was dealing with some foul trouble. Jaden McDaniels, so your playmakers for the Huskies, they were off the court for parts of the game. And Isaiah Stewart right now as a freshman isn't as, developed to be able to create plays for himself. And so without a true point guard, without some of your other playmakers, he did not have a very good night from the field, 3 of 13. He did punish the Wildcats on the glass. He had a couple offensive rebounds that really could have gone against the Wildcats had Huskies been able to score off of them. There were a couple, from what I remember from the game, Stewart or whoever shot the ball for the Huskies just missed the second chance opportunity, but it was a down night for Stewart.
Absolutely. So Arizona, they get the win 75-72 over the Washington Huskies. Now up next, they got Washington State. Now Washington State beat ASU the other night because it's the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 is just wacky. But, Arizona has some confidence. And Lou Olson always said, to be successful in college basketball, you got to sweep at home and split on the road. So at worst, Arizona is going to split. But, we all thought Arizona was going to go up to Corvallis, Oregon, and beat the daylights out of Oregon State. We automatically are going to assume that Arizona is going to beat Washington State, but Wazoo is a tough out. CJ Ellaby is a pretty tough player to match up against. So this is not going to be an easy game for the Arizona Wildcats, but going back to confidence, you get a win on the road, and now you're feeling pretty good about yourselves, and you go into Pullman with your chest out rather than dwelling on a loss.
If Arizona's going to make a run this season and get back in the Pac-12 title race, because they're right there in the middle, Oregon, USC, Stanford at the top right now, this is the time where Arizona's going to make a run. Your next game's going to be in February. That's when Sean Miller teams typically start to play their best. You've got at Washington State. It's a road game. But then you come back home. You play USC and UCLA, you know, at home, where Arizona's been really good. You got the Bay Area school, Cal, Stanford. That'll be tough, but as we said, you can split. And then you get the Oregon schools back at home. So really, you've got a shot right now for the Wildcats. If you can win four of the next six games, five of the next six, you know, win, maybe you lose one of these next, you know, road games, but you win the games at home, Arizona's going to be in pretty good position for the Pac-12 title. You know, too early to say, you know, where they're going to end up falling, but if they want to make a run, this is
now
their time, and with the big win tonight, it's certainly possible to see, like you said, that confidence booster with them, and they just start to find a groove.
So let's go to the Twitter, the Twitter mailbag. What is Brian Beck, or Brian? He just goes by Brian, but his Twitter handle is at Beck3524. Appreciate Brian. He always gives us a shout out on Twitter. I appreciate you for listening, man. His question is, what is going on with Josh Green? 2-7 tonight from the field, 0-8 versus AS Who. Was hoping for progression, but he seems to be going wrong way in that regard. Talent clearly there and can be difference maker if/when it clicks. You know, the difference with him tonight versus ASU was, I think, the pace. Arizona was playing at a faster pace, so he was able to get more opportunities. For instance, like the play I just mentioned at the beginning of the podcast of him getting that steal, going and drawing the and one. Josh Green is a fast-paced player. If you go back and you look at all of his high school highlights with him playing with Nico Mannion with West Coast Elite, they're all Nico Mannion throwing it to him in transition. And that's one thing I think Josh Green needs to work on if he wants to become an NBA player, is developing that half-court offense. What is one thing that you can consistently rely on if things get tough, rather than your boy Nico Mannion throwing you a pass while you're running down the court? What is one thing that you can rely on? I don't think Josh Green has that go-to move, you know, and I don't know if it's going to develop over the next couple of months. I don't know if it's going to develop when he gets the NBA, but you know, when you talk about first-round talent, Josh Green has it. But does he actually have it? We haven't really seen it at all this year. Or we've seen flashes.
Yeah. We haven't seen it consistently. And right now, it's just, I talked about this, you know, at the start. You go through cold stretches as a player, and I know Josh is going through, you know, not going to make too many assumptions, but a little bit of a rough personal patch with the, you know, some off Australia and the fires there. I know he's got friends and family that are, you know, in that area. So obviously, you know, maybe that's affecting him mentally a little bit,
yeah, sure,
taking away some of his focus. Not going to blame the struggles on that, you know, at all, but, you know, maybe a point for why it's happening. And I just think Sean Miller loves his game in transition. He loves the way he plays defense, but he always goes back to offensive rebounding on the offensive and defensive glass, and Josh Green has been very inconsistent from that regard. Only 2 rebounds total tonight. You know, one of the more athletic and taller players on the team, he's got to be better in that regard.
Absolutely.
But the scoring will come. The shots just aren't falling. The shots he's taking aren't necessarily bad ones. He's just not finding the bottom of the net right now, but he'll get there.
Get to the free throw line.
Yeah.
You only have 1 free throw attempt the entire game.
If we're saying he's the best Arizona player in transition, he's got to do a better job also of showing that aggressiveness, getting to the foul line. He did that on the and one tonight. Would like to see it a little bit more from him.
Alec, before we let you go, talk about other updates going around Arizona basketball. I don't know if you had a chance to see this earlier today, but it was announced that Aaron Gordon is going to participate in the 2020 Slam Dunk Contest during All-Star Weekend.
Heck yes. I'll be watching then. Yeah.
I'm down.
Zach LaVine as well?
Yes.
So we'll get the rematch. That's going to draw a lot of eyeballs. I know people are still upset. Aaron Gordon got robbed of his dunk title. It's going to be fun.
He did get robbed.
I'm excited to see what moves he pulls out this time. I'm sure we've been waiting for a while for him to make the return to the dunk contest. So I'm sure he's saved up a couple moves over the last few years. Yeah.
Number three. So 2016, he competed against the Zach LaVine guy, former UCLA Bruin. That was when LaVine was with the Timberwolves. And then 2017, he comes back, puts up a mild performance. I think Glenn Robinson III won it that year. And then we haven't seen him over the last couple of years. But I think Aaron Gordon realized, okay, Zach LaVine's with the Chicago Bulls now. All-Star Weekend is in Chicago. It's time for revenge.
That's a perfect storyline.
It's time to get my slam dunk title, the one I should have won 4 years ago, but I'm going to get it right now, and I'm going to do it in front of your hometown crowd. Not hometown crowd, but your home fans in Chicago. So I'm excited for Aaron Gordon. Hopefully he gets it done.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully he gets it done.
I think so.
So we'll have more Arizona Wildcats basketball updates throughout the week. Make sure you go to Tucson.com. Bruce Pasco is out there in Seattle, and he's going to be out there in Pullman. So he's going to have all the latest on all things U of A basketball. So make sure you go to Tucson.com or go to the Wildcaster app. Listen, the Wildcaster app is amazing. We send out push notifications. We have schedules on there, videos, podcasts, and, of course, stories. And if you're an Arizona fan and you don't feel like paying a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star, but you still want all the latest on your Arizona Wildcats, then the Wildcaster app is definitely what you need. So download the Wildcaster app today. You can get it whether you have an Android or iPhone. Download it off the App Store and or Google Play. And then all the Arizona Wildcats coverage is at your fingertips. And if you want to, and I highly recommend you do so, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. And Alec, I just discovered this the other day. We're also on Spotify, too.
Oh,
we're on Spotify.
That's a big bonus.
Podbean, like wherever you get your podcast, we are on there.
Wildcaster, because we're wild and everywhere.
Exactly. So whatever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe to the Wildcast podcast. Once again, Arizona getting the win over Washington on the road. It's first true road win of the season, 75-72 in Seattle. For Alec, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir.
We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.